With us in the studio for a featured guest conversation, Celeste Iacoboni, she returns. The book, How Do You Pray?, and that she assembled as editor, just released. She's about to embark on a major tour, something like 34 cities or longer. And I'll welcome you first, then I'll give a little more bio, but it's nice to have you back. I know this has been a work in process, and for those of you who don't know, Celeste is Santa Fe-based here, so nice to have you in the studio, and we'll talk a little bit about How Do You Pray, or a lot about How Do You Pray, which is the book.
Thank you, Alan. It's great to be here.
So I think what we'll do is we'll converse around some of the readings, we'll explore this worldwide practice of prayer. Celeste is a longtime friend, as I mentioned, and a fellow traveler on this this path, this, how do we say, soulful path of life. And this human incarnation that we're in that so many people like to pray around or through, we call it life. She's also an ordained minister of Walking Prayer by the Center for Sacred Studies. She's a healing practitioner, a spiritual coach, and a facilitator of body, mind, and emotional healing. And I've been on the table, and I've experienced her work hands-on, which has been a gift. And so I congratulate you on this major piece of work that you've created, co-created.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. I might mention that there's 129 people who have contributed to this collection of prayers, essays, poetry, written offerings, including your mother, Carmela Millie Iacoboni, who's here in the studio and is watching on with a set of headphones on at 92 years young. So she's escorted you to this this gathering. And we will read from her contribution along the way. I think Celeste has that marked off. Maybe that we'll save that towards the end. And we'll see where this takes us. So I first mentioned that you are a minister of walking prayer, and I didn't know that. So explain that title and role in your life, if you would.
Well, walking prayer embodies how the indigenous people lived, and spirit was a part of their everyday life. They didn't pray over here or pray in church or one day a week. They prayed throughout life, every step on the earth, every seed that they planted, every interaction was a prayer. They were in touch with the web of life, sunrise, moonrise, sunset. They were part of it. They weren't separate from it.
So how did you study that? I mean, this was a formal course that you took or training?
Yes. A good friend of mine, Joe T., has the Center for Sacred Studies. She's founded it. And it's out in Sonora, California, now based in Guerneville. Uh-huh. And they have a beautiful two-year ministry program. Every month, we read a book. We had a grandmother corner, one of the 13 indigenous grandmothers, shared her wisdom. We had calls. There were people from all over the world as part of this program.
I know her.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I know her because she's been involved with the 13 grandmothers, right?
Exactly. Mm. And I'll be out there in Guerneville in August when I'm out in California.
Hmm. Okay, so walking prayer, you know, the thought that came up when you were speaking to that is that if we only but knew that life is a prayer. I mean, we'll get into different definitions of prayer and what people have said about it, but as you know, our mutual friend Larry Dossey also has said, be careful what you pray for. I mean, every thought that we have is setting an intention and putting something into the... Did you coin the term prayer field somewhere along the line?
I did. Yeah. 129 contributors sharing prayers, and so many more people. Before I actually had the idea for this book, I started what I called prayer shares, where we came together in circles sharing our different ways of prayer, and we participated in each other's rituals and traditions and shared and explored. And I realized that there's always someone praying, all over the world, people are praying around the clock. Mm. Every country, every tradition, every type of prayer, and they hold the vigil of prayer. So as we pray, our prayers join all of the prayers ever said in this field of love. Hmm. And as we know, energy follows intention. So when we do have an intention, energy follows it, and our prayers do touch the physical and affect change.
Yeah. And we're all contributing to that common field, which I like the prayer field. Mm-hmm. There's other descriptions of it too, you know, the all that is, Akashic field, some have referred to. So you were mentioning these prayer circles and little ceremonies. Is that what inspired the book? And when did it start, and how long did it take to complete from your first vision of that you had to do this?
Well, it was about 6 years ago that I awoke. It was still dark outside, but the room was illuminated, and I heard those words, "How do you pray?" The voice went on, "Is it an hour a week at a designated place of worship, or do you take your prayers out to the streets? Do you pray like your parents' culture or tribe, or did you develop another way?" I grabbed a pen, I started writing, and it was a huge download. I got the names of four books, a film, and I saw every way of prayer. I heard the prayers. I saw the prayers of whirling dervishes, Hasidic Jews, Native American people dancing on the earth, the high mass, the body and blood. I mean, all of it was right there. And I realized that it is all one essence with many beautiful expressions. And I knew right then that this would change my life forever. And I was to ask the world, "How do you pray?"
All right. And you did.
And I still am.
Yeah. Well, we'll cover some pieces of it. I actually, like I said, I have a little surprise for you, maybe right after the break here. But I want to go to some pieces, some readings I marked off. Now, this is the foreword by our mutual friend Mirabai Starr, who says, "Our relationship to spirit, if we are lucky, is ever-changing. Our prayer life reflects this fluidity. Sometimes our hearts spill over with gratitude and a spontaneous thank you billows from the cup of our souls. Or perhaps our hearts are shattered by loss, and in our free fall we cry out for the compassionate arms of an all-loving divine being. At these times, the existence of a creator seems obvious, and we are certain that the big plan makes sense and that our only job is to say yes. At other times, the notion of a personified deity seems childish, even delusional. And we fire God and replace him, and I'll add her, with an amorphous yet sacred suchness. We consider this formless holiness to be unnameable, but we can't help naming it a little bit. Ultimate reality, maybe, or Buddha nature, the interconnected web of being, or the great mystery." And she goes on to say, "Well, guess what? We don't have to choose. We can be true believers and agnostics at the same time, equally dedicated to contemplative practice and devotional rituals, in love with science and in awe of the unseen. We can reach out to a loving God in desperation and in thanksgiving, and we can also rest in the boundless, take refuge in the formless, melt back into our true self. There is no contradiction here. Rather, it is a reflection of the paradoxical nature of the spiritual life." Of course, Mirabai is an incredible author, writer herself, many books. This is really important. It's like she's saying there are infinite ways to pray. Your thoughts about this, particularly since you've accumulated so many of them, and maybe commenting on what Mirabai has said here about how we pray.
Well, I say hallelujah. And we are multidimensional beings. We do have an ego that separates us. It gives us a feeling, an illusion of separation, that we are separate. And in that separateness, we long for the beloved. We long to have union with God, with the ultimate reality. And we have that relationship that we bow down, we pray, we ask for help and guidance. And at the same time, we are godly spiritual beings, and we can bask in the love of oneness.
Yeah. I didn't see your name listed in the table of contents. Did you in any way integrate how you pray?
Well, how I pray is bringing people together in this circumstance. Mm-hmm. With the book, there are so many ways that I pray, and that's what I'm finding through this experience. But bringing people together is a great prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was doing, I think, all my life. I love bringing people together, and I've always loved bringing people together of different backgrounds, mm-hmm. different walks of life, different spiritual practices, to celebrate that depth that unites us.
All right, we'll take our first break here. Celeste Iacoboni in the studio, live in person. I love doing these. You know, I like the phone conversations, but here we are because you're in Santa Fe, and her mom, Millie, on my left side. We're going to get one of her prayers in and a few others. And How Do You Pray is the book, and we shall return.